Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. We are so excited. We are here at our Tuesday night Bible study with Praise Tabernacle Church on behalf of our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his beautiful wife, Pamela Zachary. We welcome you to the Tuesday night Bible study. We are just excited about the Word of God. We're excited about the day. We're just excited who God is and what he's doing in our lives through the Word of God. We ask that you get your Bibles, get your pencil, get your paper, and study the Word as we go along with us on tonight. And then once we even get off the Bible study, take the next day or two just to read over the Word and see how God would like for you to apply it to your life. We are excited and grateful for the panel that's on tonight. I do believe that we have Elder Bluett, Elder Oliver, and Minister Tolbert on. I'm not sure if anybody else is on. But we're just excited that you joined us, and I am Evangelist Stanton. I am going to say a prayer, and our teacher on tonight is Minister Tolbert. We're just excited about the word that he's going to bring forth on tonight. We pray that you would listen so that you can get some understanding of the word of God and see how God wants you to apply it to your life. And when I say apply, that means you have to take action. You can't just look at the word and be a hearer of the word, but not be a doer of the word, because being a doer makes all the difference. I'm going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Minister Tolbert. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your hand of mercy that woke us up this morning, God. We thank you for your loving kindness and your patience towards us. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch the teacher on tonight. Father God, I pray that he would teach this word just the way that you gave it to him. Father God, I thank you that he don't have to look at men's faces, God, and wondering how they feel about the word. But God, I pray that you would anoint his tongue to teach what you gave him to teach, not with fear or apprehension, but God, with boldness and with an anointing, God, like never before. We thank you for your mighty word because it changes. It brings correction. It brings reproof. It also brings love and goodness and mercy and grace. So we thank you for the word on tonight. We pray, Father God, for those who are listening on tonight. Father God, let them hear a word that would transform their life, that they won't get off this phone the same way that they got on the phone, but they would want to look at their lives and say, I got to do better. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Minister Tolbert.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist Stanton, for that prayer, on-time prayer, for that introduction. Thank you so much. Thank you for everyone that tuning in right now. And hopefully someone gets something on tonight. We're going to be coming from Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 15. Again, that is Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 15. And that first verse, actually everything that we're going to go through on tonight goes along with my topic. I'll read the first verse and give my topic, but it's really the entire completion of that chapter. That's the whole topic on what we're going to go over. And the word reads, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And the Lord gave me for a topic, it's an identity crisis. Good saints versus bad saints. So, again, it's an identity crisis is my topic. Subtopic is good saints versus bad saints. So in this lesson, this is part of the conclusion of Jesus' sermon on the mount. Today we're going to find out what the Lord has to say about people that claim that they got it, but really they don't. The goal for us today is to have us aware of the bad saints and encourage us to be good saints. Also, if you find yourself closer to being a bad saint, then you have this should touch your heart for a change, if that's you. Amen. So verse 15 again. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So Jesus is at the end of his sermon to the disciples on the mountain, and at this point, he is giving them a warning on what to look out for. This verse addresses the false prophets, which are what I'm going to call the bad saints, which really is an oxymoron, and to say that, because we think about saints and the saints are supposed to be good, you know, and the oxymoron is nothing but two words that are put together that pretty much are complete opposite. You know, like, for example, oxymoron is pretty ugly or something like that. How you going to be pretty, but, you know, yet pretty ugly, pretty ugly at the same time. So we're talking about the bad saints, like I said, which is a little bit different for us to say because saints are supposed to be good. But here we're talking about those that misrepresent Christianity and therefore are bad saints. So in verse 15, although Jesus was talking to the disciples directly, this was a warning for us as well, because we still have people today that would dress up, come to church, get behind the pulpit with a microphone, and lead folks in the wrong direction. And that's a false prophet. That's false teaching. That's false practices. So people that are leading you in the wrong direction, that's who fall under what I would call the bad saints. Those are the folks that look like they got it, but at the end of the day, they're not even close to God. So 2 Timothy 3 and 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such stay away. So we've already seen this warning And we have evidence of that in the scripture that backs it up, what Jesus is talking about as well. And we have to stay away from that. We have to be aware. So these are the bad saints that are looking for the good saints to throw them off course. So we have to be careful. We have to be vigilant. Verse, a cross-reference for that, we got Peter. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we have to be on guard. We have to be ready, knowing that there are the bad saints out there, knowing that there are those that are influenced. Amen. Knowing that the devil is busy and he's going to be on his job. So we have to be on our job as well to be aware of those different dangers and what to look out for. Verse 16 on to 17. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So just in case you were wondering, well, how do I catch this? How do I find out what the person's true identity is? Well, because right now there's an identity crisis. There's people that look like us, but at the end of the day, they're not with us. Amen. And the Lord provides a good answer for us here. Ye shall know them by their fruits. So, in other words, check the lifestyle. Check to see if there's any contradictions. Check to see what impact is being made around them. So that's your fruits. Your impact is your fruits. The different things that you're doing, that's part of your fruits. Do they even show evidence of having the Holy Spirit? That's your fruit. All these things and more are your fruits. So that's what you're looking for to find out who they really are. And I'm going to open the floor. Anybody got any thing that they would like to add, any questions before or comments before going forward?
Especially my watermelon. Okay? I smell it. What does your fruit smell like? What does it look like? And not only that, just the behavior of people. Their conduct, their smell, their taste, what's coming out their mouth.
Right.
Okay, what's coming out their mouth? And I also like to look at people when they play different games or competitive. Are you cheating to win a game? I look at everything. I look at their game. I look at, you know, how they play the game, who they pick for teammates. You know, it's just the whole thing they're bearing. The fruit, I'm going to wait till you get to the other part. And having a form of godliness, like you said, having a form of godliness. But go ahead.
Oh, thank you for your comment.
I like to say something. I know Pastor always say, if you let a person talk, they will reveal themselves. Just let them talk long right. enough. And that's one of the ways that we could do it. Sometimes we just have to get silent around people. And I mean, I'm not saying not necessarily talk to people, but get silent enough to listen to what they say. Because even the word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when Wow. you listen to a person and what they're saying, that reveals their heart. That reveals their heart. So sometimes you just need to get around people. You don't have to say a lot because they will begin to reveal who they really are. Amen.
Amen. And I agree with that. They will reveal who they really are. And, you know, you do have some people that are pretty clever at hiding certain things, but it'll all come to light. You know, when it comes down to somebody that really has a hidden agenda or something like that, that really don't serve God, and it's something there, you'll get that feeling like, man, something off. And sometimes you might not get that feeling in the beginning. You find it out down the line a little bit, like, man, something's a little bit off. And then that's when the Lord began to reveal certain things unto you. So we just have to be aware of the possibility that someone could be right amongst us, you know, and not really with the Lord. And that's really what it could be, because just like any, you know, just like a lot of preachers have said, you know, you have people that just religiously come to church, and it doesn't mean that they have a direct connection with God, which we're going to get to down the line. Some people will just show up, you know. So you have some people that don't really have a direct connection with the Lord that are just there amongst us as well. Some of them are just in that middle where they don't really have a connection. They're just there. Then you got some that have a hidden agenda. And then you got what I would call in this lesson the good saints, which are those that are there and we have a connection with God, and we're there to worship God, and we're there to learn. So that's one of the things that we have to remind ourselves of, that what are we doing this for? We're coming to church to be able to get closer to the Lord and just to really just worship the Lord, but also you got to be able to take that with you. So we can't just make that a one or two times a week type of thing. We want to make that a continuance. But on to the rest of the lesson. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So a good tree brings forth good fruit, and a good tree can't bring evil fruit. So for us as good saints, shouldn't be bringing forth any bad fruit. So we have to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do, especially in the church. We can't tear each other down, but we have to have each other's back. We got to look out for one another. Like the word says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Those are some of the things that we have to keep amongst each other. So we should be good fruit by helping others grow and become good fruit as well. So because it's easy to go the other way, it's easy to rebel, it's easy to do whatever you want to do in life. That's the easy part. Live life without cares and do all this other type of stuff. That's the easy part. You can easily do that. If you think about where you were before Jesus, you know, before he came into your life, that was the easy part of just going out and doing whatever you wanted to do. But it's hard work to stick it out and stay on the straight and narrow path and be a good saint. So that's the hard work. That's the hard part. But it's far more rewarding to stay on this side versus doing it on the other side. So there's a reason why the scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, 2 Corinthians 6:17. There's a reason, and that reason is because it's an identity crisis, folks, and it's time to separate the real from the fake. It's time to separate the good saints from the bad saints. We have to do like the Lord is saying and check the fruit. So at the end of verse 20, like he's saying, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. We got to listen to what the Lord is saying on that part. He's saying we need to check the fruit, and we will know who they are. We will know the different hidden agenda. As applying to the message, you'll know the good saints from the bad saints if you just pay attention and look at what is being produced. So we're looking for the good fruit. We're looking for those that can produce good fruit and not the evil fruit. Those are the ones that you want to be a little bit closer to. And then going forward, let's look at this term right here, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, Jesus is switching gears in this verse. He is now plainly saying we have to be doers of the word in order to make it happen, in order to make it into heaven. We got to be doers of the word. We can't just be the ones that sit and lend a ear all the time, but we have to put what we hear into action. We got to be doers of the word. So the separation continues, and now it's a separation between the hearers and the doers of the word, people that just only come in religiously just to listen, and then those that are putting the word of God into action, those that are doing the will of God. There's a separation starting. Amen. And it's one thing to hear the word of God every Sunday and every major holiday, but, you know, it's a difference if you're actually doing the will of God. So you could just come and just sit in church and don't really have a connection because you come for attendance, you come for different reasons, and you just come out of tradition. Your grandma went, or you just going because of whatever, but you never developed your own connection. You never confessed Jesus Christ. You never had a connection. So there's a difference when you become a doer, when you want to actually do the will of God. So this shows more evidence that there is an identity crisis, because some folks want to do the part of the word and be part-time Christians. And part-time Christians are the bad saints. Those are the ones that treat Christianity like a buffet. They just want to grab certain parts, and they don't want to do nothing with the rest of it. They're like, all right, whatever. I don't worry about all of that. But we got to focus on the good saints. We got to make sure that we're being the good saints. And what we're seeing is the reward, what he says at the latter portion of verse 21, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So those ones that are doing the will of God, those are the ones that's going to make it to heaven. So we got to be the good saints to make sure that we're doing the will of God. And the best thing that we can do is serve the Lord and do the will of his Father, because that's how we're going to make it through. That's how we're going to make it to the other side. We'll see that Jesus continues to show this throughout the remainder of his lesson. All we got to do, he wants us to lean on him. He wants us to have a connection with him. Amen. So we got to build our foundation upon the Lord, and we got to stay there. Anyone want to say anything before I go any further? Open the floor. All right.
Minister Tolbert.
Okay, go ahead.
You just brought out a very great point, especially about being doers of the word. We find it so easy to be doers of the flesh. We allow the flesh to make us do what we want to do. Anything that, you know, feels good to the flesh. And when it comes to allowing the word to transform our minds, we buck against it because it doesn't feel as good when we're doing fleshly things. But we have to make up in our minds through the Holy Spirit. You got to make up in your mind that you are going to make an effort to walk in holiness and righteousness. And holiness just basically means being set apart. Like you're right. Saying in this, the good Christian and the bad Christian, that's holiness, being set apart. But we've got to make an individual choice to say, you know what, I can't just keep living my life any kind of way. It's almost like people using grace like a condom. I'm going to put grace on whenever I need it, because I want to go out and fulfill the desires of the flesh and think it's going to be okay with God, whatever I do. And we can't do that. That's not what grace is for. We can't just continue to stay in sin, desire sin, do sin, and then think it's okay with God, and it's not, and then want to say, well, his grace and his mercy. So, I mean, you bring out a very good point, being doers of the word. And the way we do that, of course, is through with the Holy Spirit, with reading the word and allowing it to transform your mind. And we say this in Bible study all the time. This is nothing new. We always encourage people to read their word, to study, to pray, to worship, to have a relationship with God, and to really get up in the morning and say that you're going to choose God, and then make an effort. And with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God, your life can be transformed. So you bring up a very good point with that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And I would
much.
Also
thank
like
you,
to add real quick.
Go ahead.
I just want to add real quick. A lot of people just do enough to get by. And what they call that in the Army is shammers. Okay? They'll do just enough to get by just to make people think that they're doing, you know, the will of God. You know, just a little bit. Just to get, they're going to give you just a little bit. But ask them, you know, to do, they're not consistent, I should say. They're not consistent. Okay, they're not going to help anybody else with their stuff, but they always want somebody to help with their stuff. And then they don't even finish their stuff. They put it on you. But they'll get it started. They'll do just enough to get by. And we can't be like that. If God give us something, we have to go through with it all the way. And especially if you say God gave it to you.
That's right.
Hey, I also got a small comment, Minister Tobert.
Yes, sir.
So I want to go back. I know you on, verse 21, but I want to go back to 15 right quick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go back to 15 right quick. And by the way, great lesson. So 15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You know, it's I've had people come to me, and I'm not a perfect person, so I don't want to implement that. I've had people come to me, you know, to be in their, you know, their friendship, their organization, things that they're doing to try to bring me in or whatever, and come with a very great conversation. And, you know, and the least that I know is that, you know, their history is good or whatever. And as time goes by, you know, it's hard to hold a certain stance in yourself if it's not truly true. As time goes by, your defense or your offense of what you're portraying, you'll get tired of holding that and the true person to come out.
Right.
I had that situation. And it made me feel so bad inside because you put your trust in a person or people. You put your trust in there, and your trust is not easily given away. Because when you put your trust in something or people, you know, you lay it there, you move on, it's there. You sowed that seed in that person that came to you. And then when they get tired of, you know, portraying who they might be and let their offense or defense down and get comfortable with the relationship you form, it hurts. It really, really, really hurts. And it teaches you as you get older, as I am, you get older, that you don't necessarily just fall into a relationship with somebody behind the first conversation, but you look for the fruits. Now I look for the fruit.
Right.
Now look for, you know, what's around you. Instead of just looking you dead in the eye, look what's around you. Comments I've heard of you or whatever, whatever, you know. But, you know, we still have to be loving and trusting people to other people. Just not get so deep to where we fall as prey to people.
Exactly. Elder Bluette, I think that was spot on. All comments spot on, Evangelist Bluette, Evangelist Stanton. And Elder Bluette, I'd like to piggyback off of what you just said. You know, when you bringing up basically going back to how you said with 15 about how people present themselves as one way and then just long enough to kind of, in a sense, pretty much fool you for a while, and then they show themselves, reveal themselves, who they really are. You know, that's the exact basis of what we're talking about. That's a true definition of an identity crisis, because in within yourself, you think that you are somebody else. You know, and you begin to portray a different character than who you really are. You know, that's when you're not being real with yourself. You're not being real with the other people around you. That's the true definition of an identity crisis. Instead of you being who you are, you want to pretend to be somebody else. You know, you want to, like they say in the word, it says, beware of false prophets, which are in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening and wolves. So you act like you with us. You act like you amongst the sheep and you serving the lamb, but in reality, you're a wolf looking to destroy the sheep of the lamb. So you're a predator and looking at us as the prey. But we have to realize that the Lord is giving us that warning and allowing us to know what to look out for so we know how to protect ourselves, you know. And can there be somebody that can fool you to begin with? Sure, but only for so long. Only for so long. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal who that person is. You're going to get that, you know, that discernment. You're going to know a little something. And if you pay attention and watch the fruits, they'll begin to show you. They'll begin to break down. Some of them might be quicker than others. Some of them, it might take some time, and then they begin to show who they really are. So thank you all for all those comments. And I'm just hoping that everybody just continue to learn from this and continue to understand where we're going with the conversation. Just for us to know that we have to be good saints. We have to put these things into great practices, but we have to be aware of the other side, of those that are not with us, but they're with us, meaning that they're among us, but they're not with us. Verse 22.
Real quick. I just want everybody to imagine like 100 sheep, and it's a wolf with sheep skin over top of them. And, okay? He can only stay among the sheep for so long before he bite one or try to eat one.
Right.
So you leave him there long enough. What was that word?
Raven and wolf?
Extremely hungry. It's a word. It's the last word in 15. I don't have my Bible in front of me. But it meant extremely hungry or excessively greedy. Wolves are greedy. Okay? And if you put them in the middle of the sheep, it's not going to be too long. They're going to show their true self because they're wolves.
Right.
They're not just going to eat just one. They might get away with one. They might get away with two. But something's going, hey, whatever happened to Sister So-and-so, whatever, they got bit. And greed will do that. What is greed? Greed is pride. You know, it's prideful. You know, can't say you're sorry or just when you hurt somebody, you know, it's always, well, they shouldn't have done. No. If somebody said that you hurt their feelings, it's not up to you to justify why you did it. you made somebody feel a certain way. Just apologize. Just apologize. You can't tell the person that, oh, no, you didn't feel that way. Yes, they did. And if they brought it up to you, you know, that's a bite. We have to rectify. We have to hold ourselves accountable and hold each other accountable when people do that. And we're supposed to be Christians, supposed to be saints. And we're supposed to be showing love one towards another. Come on. We have to do better. If we want to draw, have love and kindness, have we drawn me?
That's right. That's all right. exactly the point. You're 100% correct, and I definitely appreciate all the comments. Everybody's spot on what we're talking about, because this is what we have to deal with. This isn't something that we're talking about that may not happen or anything like that. This is stuff that goes on, so we have to be aware, and thank you all for the comments. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So when you begin to read over verse 22 and 23, you have to realize that Jesus is talking about church folks, the ones that are suffering from the identity crisis. The same thing that I have been talking about, those that present themselves as one way and really think one way, but in reality, you're completely different. You really think that you got it together when in reality, you really don't. You know, and the evidence is in these scriptures. They thought that they had it together because they prophesied in the Lord. They cast out devils and did so much stuff. But at the end of the day, they never formed a relationship with Christ. They didn't realize how powerful the name of Jesus really is. So you just used Jesus, but you didn't get close to Jesus. You didn't connect with Jesus. So you used all the benefits that come along with his name, but you didn't commit yourself to him. So that's what we're talking about. And these are the bad saints that I'm sure is possible in their mind that they thought that they were good saints. Just like, you know, the plea they made in those two scriptures in verse 22, thinking that they had a relationship, thinking that they had it together, but they didn't have a relationship. Amen. So that's why it's important for us to know who we are. Therefore, when we know who we are, we know whose we are. And this is a part of the identity crisis, a good saint versus a bad saint. So now we continue to see what that's like. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So these two verses explain what it's like being a good saint. Jesus is comparing it to someone building a house upon a rock, which is a solid foundation and a strong foundation. Your foundation determines your destination. If you choose the Lord as your foundation, then you're destined to succeed. Your destination is heaven. But if you don't, then you're destined to fail, and your destination is hell. So we got to understand the importance of choosing the right foundation to begin with, because we're going to see, and some of us already know the scripture, know where this goes. We see what happens when you have a good foundation versus when you don't have any foundation. when you do not have a foundation, there's going to be some consequences. Verse 26 to 27. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So these two scriptures address the bad saints and the unbelievers. These are folks that even may hear the word of God, but chose not to be a doer of the word of God. These folks are considered foolish, and their first mistake was choosing the wrong foundation, which is in the text saying, but spiritually they have no foundation. So they have nothing to stand on. So at the end of the day, without Jesus, there is no foundation. Anything without a foundation will fall. Also, notice when you look back over those two scriptures, when you look back over those two comparison scriptures, so when you look over 24 to 25 and 26 and 27, when you look back over it, both houses went through a storm, but only one survived. So the good saints, we don't have to be discouraged, because you're going to be in a storm and you're going to go through a storm. But just know that at the end of the day, you'll be able to stand with the Lord. And with that, I'm going to open the floor.
And that's what I always say. That's what I always say. And you can tell when people are honestly wanting to do right, wanting to, you know, give right, want to love right. Because when they do go through, I always say, the money and death will bring out the worst or the good in you. Okay? It's going to show your true identity and who you are. Give somebody some money or let somebody die. The drug addict's going to go back to drinking and smoking and doing their drugs. And the saints are going to praise God and going to give God all the glory, because we know that we have to live right. Everybody going to die. We know this. Everybody's going to die. And everybody's talking about heaven ain't going.
That's right.
Keep living. Keep loving. Keep doing what God called us to do. Because I'm telling you, everybody's going to be tested. Are you going to pass the test, or are you going to have to retake the test over and over and over, because you keep failing the same test over and over? And that's what tests do, either in our minds, in our bodies, or whatever. Whatever test it is, they're there to make us stronger, to make us better. That's all they're there for, to make us better. And we have to look at it like that. Not, you know, anyway, go ahead.
Thank you, Ms. Miller, for that comment. On point, because, you know, we got to realize that we're servants of the Lord, like you said. You know, everybody ain't gonna make it in. Everybody that claims that they're gonna make it in, talk about heaven, ain't making it in, like you said. And we see that evidence on what Jesus said, even over, you know, verse 22 to 23. He said that it's going to be folks that's going to call his name, and they're not going to make it in. You know, so we got to make sure that we got the right intentions. We got to make sure that we're serving God wholeheartedly. So if we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, then we'll be okay. If we've given our life to Christ and we're serving him, then we'll be okay. You don't have to be counted among that number. You'll be counted amongst the number that will make it into heaven. So you got to make sure that you're doing your part, making sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And like we said, pointing out this with how the scripture says, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew. That's going to be the different things that we go through. Those are our tests, like Evangelist Bouvet was saying. So that's the part, the backup, that's our test. Those are different things that we're going to go through. And as you can see, we go through stuff, the ones with solid foundation and the ones that don't have a solid foundation, both go through stuff, right? But at the end of the day, you're going to be able to stand because you have a solid foundation in the Lord. So as long as you're making the right choice, you're still going to go through some stuff. It's in the scriptures right there. But at the end of the day, you'll be able to stand because you made the right choice. You chose the Lord. You can look over several different people in this Bible that, whether they wrote scriptures or in the scriptures themselves, a lot of them went through a whole lot. You can call out name after name. You can call out between David, Paul, and whoever else. You got so many other ones that did so much. Peter, and they still went through so much. We can add to that list. So you're going to have your own test, your own stuff, but at the end of the day, they still stood. They still made it. Amen. So any other comments? Thank you. All right. We're getting towards the – this is the conclusion.
Hey, I got one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So it took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, just speaking on how people or a person should be for you, and this is how they should be for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. And this is Paul speaking. Do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of heart. That's proof that Paul had established that church in Corinthians, in Corinth. And the people in Corinth, as they went about life, spread the word of God to others, where Paul was commendable for even starting the church. That was his proof. So as we start relationships from the beginning, we need to now at a point in our life look for the fruit, not intentionally trying to see somebody that's wrong, but just be aware of your surroundings and the people that you're with. Look for their fruit, or their fruit should jump out on you, as a matter of fact, of how good they are, what their intentions are. When the pandemic started, you know, calling folks, see how they are. And one thing about money is that if you have a little change and you're thinking about somebody, or God lays it on your mind, somebody's name or family, and you got a little change, you know, ask for that Cash App. Send them some money, you know, because money can help. Presents can help. Cutting their yard can help. Bringing them food can help. Those are fruits that God looks for in us to help somebody. But how can you never get a call to see how you're doing? How can you never get a text message to see how you're doing? What is that? I don't understand that. At this point in my life, I don't understand that. You know, so to intentionally have the welfare of others on your mind is good fruit. To intentionally have the love for somebody else is good fruit. To intentionally not mark somebody's name because of somebody else told you about them is good fruit. So we have to be careful that when Jesus said, where is it? Let's see. In verse 21 of your lesson in Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So we have to be careful. And everybody can change at the moment, in the instant of time. Everybody can change. And so those who are under the sound of my voice right now, change if you're negative. Just change. And believe me, to you, it will make a world of difference. Great lesson.
Thank you so much. That summed up the whole thing, of the point that we're trying to make on tonight. You know, it's to provoke change. It's not to get on anybody's nerves, even if it do. It did its job, but it's supposed to provoke change. If you felt like in your heart that this was pricking at you, then it's supposed to provoke change. If you knew that, hey, I was just playing the fence, I wasn't really giving it my all, or this and that, then that's what it's for, to provoke change. For you to say, you know what, I'm going to stop being that way. You know what, I'm going to make a change in my life. That's what this lesson was for. For us to be aware of who we are and where we stand with the Lord, and to realize if we need to make a change, and understand that it's about our connection with Christ. We don't need to get it twisted and think that, or get complacent of just coming to church traditionally. We come to church, we do this, we do that traditionally, but we have to establish and maintain a relationship with Christ.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else before I close? Amen. Verse 28-29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So as good saints, we have to become more Christ-like. We have to follow his examples, even how it's mentioned at the end of his sermons that they were astonished because he spoke with authority. So we have to speak boldly and stand on the truth, which is the word of God. We can't get caught up in what others are doing, because we have to do our part in serving the Lord. We have to realize who we are, and realize that we are good saints, and we're supposed to be good saints. So we have to focus on that. So Jesus gave us all the information necessary to help us avoid an identity crisis. And I know, and now I can challenge you all, and I encourage you all today to know who you are, a good saint or a bad saint. Amen. And this may be a little bit different. I am ending, but the Lord had just led me for those that may feel that you want a change, and that change can start today. I would just like to do a corporate prayer for salvation and close. If that's you, you can just repeat after me, and I'm going to turn this over. Lord, I'm sorry for the sins I committed. I believe you died on Calvary's cross. I believe you rose on the third day. I hear you knocking at the door to my heart. Jesus, I open that door, and I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. And Lord, we just believe this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I turn this service into the hands of, I believe, Evangelist Stanton is going to close us.
Amen, amen. Great lesson on tonight. And we are excited for anybody who prayed that prayer with Minister Tolbert just now. Let me tell you something. Heaven is rejoicing, and we rejoice with you. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, or if you are rededicating yourself to Christ because you found yourself, like he said, being the bad saint, or even the good saint, just to remind yourself that you have to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. Thank you, Minister Tolbert, for this great lesson on tonight. It truly is an opportunity to reflect on your fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing? And you know it. Do you have good, vibrant, juicy fruit that is well and healthy and good, or does your fruit stink? I mean, really, take a self-examination. Maybe you need to prune from away from around you so that you can grow better fruit. So just be mindful on that tonight. Self-reflect, because you know where you stand with Christ. You know if you're reading the Word of God. You know if you are having prayer, praise, and worship. You yourself know what you're doing behind those closed doors. And if you not, we just encourage you on tonight to begin right now, because you don't know when your last opportunity on this earth is. And you don't want to stand before the presence of Christ and he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And that basically is saying, you workers of sin. You don't want that to come out of the mouth of Christ. And I don't know if you know tonight that these scriptures that he read were the words of Jesus Christ. They were the words of Jesus Christ. They are the words of Jesus Christ. And we just need to be mindful of that, because like I said, you don't know when you're going to take your last breath. You want to be able to wake up and he say to you, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what you want to hear, not you workers of iniquity. So thank you for the lesson on tonight. Minister Tolbert, we thank and praise God for everybody on the panel on tonight, for all the comments. We hope that everybody that's listening received a word that would transform and change their lives. Just a reminder, on Monday nights we have D&K Bible Break with our own Elder Derek Oliver and his beautiful wife, Kisa Oliver. Monday night is very good. If you have not listened, you need to get on Blog Talk Radio, 7 p.m. They bring some great conversation. They bring up some great thoughts. It's a little comical sometimes. It's really good. Sometimes very serious. But that's on Monday night. And then Tuesday night, of course, is our Tuesday night Bible study with Praise Tabernacle Church, 7 p.m. And then we have Wednesday night live with Pastor Zachary and Family Ministry. And that is at 7 p.m. as well. And then Thursday night, we have 7 p.m. the Royal Bluettes. That's Elder Bluett and Evangelist Bluett and their family. And they discuss different topics, very interesting, from a family's point of view of how they make it together in Christ as a family. And then we have Sunday morning live at the Tabernacle. That is Sunday morning service at 9 a.m. with our Bishop Omar Zachary and his wife, Lady Pamela Zachary. So you have plenty of opportunity to tune in and listen and get a word from God to grow on and to become doers of the word. And with that, I am going to read our Great Commission, and I'm going to pray us out. And we hope that everybody have a great week. The word says in Matthew 28:19-20, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that everyone under the sound of my voice would know you as their personal Savior, that they would have a relationship with you and not just a religious experience, but a relationship with you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this word. We pray that you would pour back into the teacher on tonight everything that he has poured out. We pray, Father God, that we would not only be hearers of the word, but we would go and apply the word to our lives. Let our minds be renewed in the word. Let our hearts be submitted and surrendered unto you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. We pray that everyone have an amazing rest of the week. Good night.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.